Jesus Murphy. I left a little bit of money on the table there. But here's the takeaway. At the end of the day, as they say, you can't go broke making a profit. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Fast Track. I'm your host, Greg Helbeck. And on this podcast, you are going to learn exactly how to be a successful real estate investor step by step by me interviewing some of the top real estate investors and entrepreneurs in the entire country. And there's also going to be a bunch of episodes where I'm just going to individually talk about real estate deals that I've done that have been successful, some deals that haven't been successful. I'm going to talk about my weekly real estate investing lessons, stuff that I've learned from the trenches that you can learn for free on this podcast. So if you're looking to level up your game as a real estate investor or become a real estate investor, this is the podcast to listen to. So if you do get value from the show today, please do me a favor and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you are listening on so we can get this message in front of more people. And without further ado, welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's REI Weekly Deal Breakdown. My name is Greg Helbeck, and thank you for checking out this video or listening to this podcast. If you are not familiar with me, I've been a full-time real estate investor now for almost a decade, and this podcast / YouTube channel is all about real life experience from the trenches. As I always say, famously now, this is not regurgitated theory out of a book. So if you get value from this, do me a favor and subscribe to our YouTube channel and share the podcast on social media. Without further ado, this deal is 17 Taylor Road in Cornwall, New York. And boy, oh boy, was this an interesting deal. The way that we found the property was through direct mail. And ironically, this owner was not on any of our lists, which is crazy because the neighbor ended up getting a mailer from us. So she actually gave her postcard to this neighbor. The neighbor called us up and she really needed to sell this house. It was a hoarder house. It was in terrible condition. And the seller really needed to get out of the property. And what ended up happening was we spoke with the owner. It was very tough to get the seller to agree to anything. She didn't really trust anybody. So she actually wanted to meet the attorney in person before she signed paperwork. So we had her go over to her attorney's office. She got the contract explained to her. She ended up signing the contract. So this property needed a tremendous amount of work. There was at least $100,000 worth of rehab on this thing. I did not want to do that project myself. So I figured there's two exits for this property. There is either a close and relist, a wholetail, or we could just do a straight wholesale deal, which is when you find an end buyer and flip the contract, basically. I figured a wholetail on the MLS would not be that productive because we're only going to be really limited to cash buyers anyway. So I figured if we can get a wholesale fee for it, we'll go from there. So I ended up blasting the property out and got a buyer, which is interesting on this one because the original guy who was going to buy walked the property. He's, I don't think this is for me, but I think my friend might want it. And I said, okay. So his friend went over there and looked at it and was like, you know what? I have an appetite for risk. I like crazy properties. So I'm going to buy this from you. So I believe the profit on this was like $22,000 or something like that in terms of the wholesale fee. And the deal was getting really rocky once we actually found the end buyer because the seller didn't get the right communication and she wanted to close right away. And there was a title issue that we had no control over. The title issue was that there was a issue with the building department because the town knew that it was so distressed. They put a huge lien on the property. So because I didn't know about the lien and she didn't know about the lien, we ended up splitting it. So she still ended up making a good amount of money despite the condition of the property. And we ended up getting the property sold and closed. However, towards the end of the deal, I remember the seller wouldn't even deal with me anymore because Brett bought the house, who was my partner. And there was a point where the seller wouldn't even answer the phone. So I ended up getting her son on the phone who was living at the property. And I said, hey man, we're buying your mom's house. I know you're living there. We got to figure out a way to close this. She's not answering me. So the son was actually very nice and very helpful. And he ended up being very cooperative and he got everything needed. At the end of the day, the deal closed out. It was a very sketchy closing in terms of we didn't really know if it was going to close or not because seller had to move and the house was just so beat up. There was like devil spray paintings inside. So I'm glad the seller was able to sell it before the town took over because there was a lien on there that she wasn't paying. And if you don't pay that lien, it just accrues and then your equity kind of goes away. So we were able to get it done in time so she could walk away with a reasonable amount of proceeds despite that condition of the property. So at the end of the day, it was a win situation. It's never easy working with truly distressed sellers because number one, you feel bad for them. And number two, it's difficult to communicate with them because a lot of the times the sellers will procrastinate for so long and they don't want to talk to you. So it can get a little messy. So that's actually my first lesson here on this deal is that if you're dealing with a truly distressed seller, whether they're in foreclosure or their property's in brutal shape, or if it's a hoarder house, you have to be patient, you have to be delicate. And ideally, You need to get somebody else who's involved in the transaction on your side. In this case, it was the son. So if you're dealing with a distressed owner, try to find their relatives. Try to get in touch with their kids or maybe their spouse or their neighbor or somebody who could be a second point of contact because they can help steer the ship. Lesson number two, when you make a mistake, you have to own up to it. And in this case, I wouldn't say I made a mistake, but I went into this property not knowing there was a lien and neither did the seller. So in theory, according to my contract, I could have been like, you didn't disclose this and you got to pay for this. But I said, you know what? We both didn't know about this. Why don't we split it 50-50 so you end up netting more than what you would versus if you had to follow the contract according? Because in theory, I could have literally enforced the contract. And she agreed to that. I approached her from a collaborative perspective versus a combative perspective. So when you do that, generally the sellers are going to agree with you. So that's lesson number two. And here's the best lesson. This is lesson number three. I got the house for 100, sold it for 122 after all the fees and whatnot. It was like a 20K profit. The buyer who bought the house for me for 122 sold it as is for 175. Jesus Murphy, I left a little bit of money on the table there. So what I should have done is I should have done more homework. I should have bought this thing and threw it on the market. And I guarantee you, even if I closed on it and took some hard money out and had to pay some commissions, I still would have made at least 40 grand. Versus my 20 grand. Don't give your wholesale deals away. I thought I was selling this thing for like top of the market because it was so damaged, but apparently I was wrong and the buyer who I sold it to ended up selling it for 50 grand more than he paid me. So at the end of the day, as they say, you can't go broke making a profit, but here's the takeaway. When your property's in a very hot area, like in this case, it was in Cornwall, as is properties will sell for a lot of money, even if they're in terrible shape. So double check your values. Don't leave too much money on the table. I hope you got some value from this video. Please do me a favor, subscribe to the channel, share the podcast. And if you're local to the Hudson Valley, or Seattle, or Reno, Delaware, or San Diego, and you have properties that you want to wholesale to me, I am a real buyer, or if you want to wholesale them with me, send me an email, greg@velocityhousebuyers.com, and I'll see you on the next REI Weekly Deal Breakdown.